Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY, done with you training, and done for you SEO options. So there is truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist and use the code Modern Therapist for a DIY course, or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your consult for special offers.
Are you looking for ways to attract and retain private pay clients? Thryser is a payment platform for therapists built to help clients automatically tap into their out-of-network benefits and save on therapy up front. Check out our special link, join.thryser.com/modern therapist, and use the code Modern Therapists to activate $2,500 in free payments with Thryser.
You're listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide, where therapists live, breathe, and practice as human beings. To support you as a whole person and a therapist, here are your hosts, Kurt Widhelm and Katie Vernoy.
Welcome back to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. I'm Kurt Widhelm with my partner, Katie Vernoy. And today we have a special guest. We are with Carmen Roman. She is the host of Emotions in Harmony podcast. And she actually has a very unique practice. She is licensed not only in a couple of different locations, but across international borders. Welcome to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide, Carmen.
Hi, welcome, Didi. Thank you.
Tell us about your podcast and your clinical practice. I'd love to hear what you're doing and what your big vision is.
My podcast is bilingual. That's different right there.
Yes, absolutely.
I publish one episode in Spanish and one episode in English. I am aiming for bilingual listeners, but actually it's not happening really that much. I have monolingual English and monolingual Spanish, and they keep fighting with me to have more content. They say, we want more Spanish or more English. So for some reason, most of them are monolingual. And the big picture that I want is that I think therapy is a luxury sometimes and a privilege. Because it can be, especially in the Silicon Valley, it can be very expensive. And not everybody can afford either pay a session or to have the time to go. My big goal is to bring psychology to everybody, especially in California. There are rural areas that there are not Spanish speakers at all. They will have access to some information that helps them to do better in their family, in their life, while they can afford therapy. It's not a substitution, but my goal is to help.
Yeah. That's so great. I love that.
One of the things that Katie and I talk about a lot is, what do we stand for with our podcast? And as we further develop those ideas, one of the things that's really come out for us is that therapy really has become a luxury, as you bring up, not only for those who can afford it, but also for those who can afford to be trained to do therapy. And it's really refreshing whenever we run into people with the same principles as us, as far as bringing those aspects out to a broader community, and especially to those who are underserved.
Yes. Actually, I also have a face. I don't know how you call it. If a podcast is a podcaster, how you call a Facebook Live?
Yes.
My husband say Facebook Live Bear. Yeah, or something like that. So I have a Facebook Live based show or podcast, let's say that way. And it's video. And that has reached more population because some people are way more familiar with Facebook than the podcast in iTunes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it really helped me to go to many different areas and different families. And I truly believe that psychology can make better life for people. I truly believe in psychology. I have dedicated my life to it. So I try to bring every tool possible for them to do better.
You have a practice in California as well as in Mexico. How do you straddle two locations, two languages? How do you do the clinical practice part?
It's easy because I have been already 15 years in private practice in Mexico. By the time I left Mexico and came to do the PhD, my practice there was well established. I had a clinic. I was holding a group practice where 10 to 7 psychologists sometimes I will have. And we were doing continuing education courses, and I was teaching in the university, and I was traveling to different parts of the country to do classes in psychology. So when I came, some of the clients stayed with me and we did online therapy. We have been done online therapy. Some of them already, of course, finished their sessions and new camps and whatever. So I do online. And once a year, I go to provide an intensive a week-long intensive workshop to priests. So this is how I keep alive my practice there.
That's so, so great, because I'm assuming that that practice is really serving the population there.
It's actually serving me more than them, because probably they have... Of course, they have many options, and they literally could disappear and they don't miss. But mm-hmm. but it's helping me to keep my perspective of Latino fresh. Mm. And it's helping my clients here, because I am current in what is going on in Mexico and the language. Because actually, when I started learning English 10 years ago, I had trouble with my Spanish, especially the Spanish more academic oriented. So uh-huh. it keeps my Spanish alive.
How does your clientele and history inform your theoretical orientation and how you practice?
My clientele, definitely, I am very grateful to have the both countries clientele, because one informs the another. Yeah. Uh-huh. One informs me to work with another. I have a very wide range of clientele. I have the people who have limited education opportunities. They may not have even elementary school or kindergarten. Uh-huh. And I have clients who have 2 PhD and speak 3 languages. And I have people who speak Spanish and as a primary language, people who speak Portuguese as a primary language, but there is no Portuguese therapy, so they come to therapy in Spanish. And I have people who speak indigenous languages whose second language is Spanish. So they come to therapy in Spanish. Or I have families or immigrants who are English speakers, but they were trained, or their maternal language is Spanish when they were young. So they want to take the therapy in Spanish and go back and forth between English and Spanish. Uh-huh. So I have a very wide range of clientele.
You certainly do.
Simplified SEO Consulting's team of mental health professionals genuinely want to help you attract more of your ideal clients with a proven on-page SEO process using the strategies that are most effective for therapist websites. They know SEO is an investment, which is why it is so important to find someone who aligns with your values and understands the importance of building your private practice in a meaningful way. Simplified SEO Consulting hopes to be that team for you and your practice.
The expert team would love to talk with you during a free consultation to figure out the best fit for your SEO journey. Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY, done with you training, and done for you SEO options. So there's truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Be sure to ask if their innovative content network is a good fit for your website. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off a DIY SEO course with code MODERNTHERAPIST, or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off your done-for-you SEO program onboarding this spring.
Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern-therapist.
It seems like you've got a very diverse clientele, and there's a lot of cultural implications to how you have to work with them. I know that we have to kind of be aware of the culture of each of our clients, but it seems like there's a lot of different nuance to the clients you're working with. How do you address that? How do you stay aware of that? And how does it impact your work?
Let me tell you something beautiful about my training in Mexico. I had the bachelor degree in Mexico in psychology. It will be similar to MFT training here. It was 5 years of intense training for 6 days a week, 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
That was live classes, yeah? Mm-hmm. And then for the last year, we need to do the hours, and then we need to do more hours, and all of this similar mm-hmm. to here. Out of these 5 years, I got 2 years of training in social psychology, and I got philosophy, 1 year of philosophy, 1 year of anthropology. Mm-hmm. And that really informed me, or at least helped me to be aware when I am not informed. Having philosophy in the training as psychology was beautiful, like reading Marx, Engels, Nietzsche, or reading Taylor de Chardin, or things like that. It was philosophers like that. It really helped me to take psychology out of only the psychology field. So now when I work with clients, it helps me to see or to ask questions that pertains to their entire life, or to hold conversations that sometimes are mainly philosophical. So that is, it helps me to be aware when I don't know. Yeah.
That's so important, knowing when you don't know.
Yes. And to keep asking questions and to make less assumptions, because I am very opinionated and I have a strong opinion. So I need to be very, very aware of when my client is saying something I don't understand, or when my client is saying enchiladas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And doesn't, even in the Mexico, enchiladas doesn't mean the same thing. If they say enchiladas, it's, there are at least 10 different moles of enchiladas. So this is just a metaphor for how I need to keep asking sometimes about.
So it's really not assuming and really asking the questions that go beyond psychology, even into the philosophies that they hold and anthropology. I'm really interested in the anthropology. How does that inform and the questions you ask or the way that you approach a case?
It was just going to the very core of asking or questioning who we are as human beings and take into account the history of the person. For example, if my client is from El Salvador, I want to know how was their place when they were born, what was happening around that place.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I ask them what they think about their country and how they come up. It's interesting for me how they come up with philosophy or anthropology about their country. So mainly it helps me to take history more seriously without being psychoanalytic. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, yeah? Because mm-hmm. one thing is psychoanalysis and another the human being history.
You were recently unplugged and not on purpose. How did that impact the way that you see your work and your life? And maybe even share with us how you ended up without being able to be plugged into the world.
It was traumatic.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was a trauma experience because I am a spoiled Silicon Valley girl now. And I grew up in Mexico. I grew up without internet, without even cell phone, without anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up totally unplugged. But then coming to Silicon Valley and where everything is perfect and you have internet all the time, mm-hmm. even in the top of the mountain, like all of these things, and going to Mexico, I was not in a small town. I was almost in a town near to the city, a tourist town. But what happened is that our internet didn't work and you cannot fight with a huge monopoly system there. So you just take it, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So the first 2-3 days, I was frustrated because I needed to publish the podcast on time. Mm-hmm. Or I wanted to publish, yeah? And then the Facebook Live, for some magic reason, I could go through the Facebook Live mm-hmm. that week, but I couldn't check what people was commenting. It was totally frustrating. And then after 2 days, it was like, okay, I grew up without internet. I grew up without cell phone. Nothing is going to happen. People mm-hmm. can survive. I can do. It was a lot of working on myself. And then it was family. I had family vacation. So I close everything, disconnect everything, and enjoy the vacation with the family after that.
That's so wonderful. I know when I unplug, there's that initial almost like withdrawal that happens. Yeah. Like, I need to know what's going on. I need to have all the information at one time. And then there's a real freedom that comes with that. Was there anything that came up for you when you felt, you know, when you finally kind of embraced the being unplugged?
Most of my life, I live 75% plugged, really. Mm-hmm. I don't live my entire life plugged. I enjoy that freedom, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, when I go to Mexico and do this intensive workshop, in the house, there is no internet and nobody is allowed to have internet connection. I do the same out of respect for the participants also. And it really is beautiful. It's like being mindful and focused and going for a walk without in your phone, nothing else than music or something. Camera and music is the phone. That mm-hmm. week, yeah. It's really beautiful experience. What happened this time is that I got unplugged the week before, which the week before I wanted, you know, to take care of everything and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. 70% of my life is connected and blah, blah, blah. And 25 or really my phone is very far away in the night and the computer is very far away. I really try to disconnect and hide from society. That's my way of cope.
What are some of the unique challenges that come up in your practice versus somebody who might be in a more traditional type setting with one practice in one city?
First of all, the bilingual part. There are aspects that come with the bilingual. We need to, for example, sometimes being taking consideration the translation, everything will take so much time sometimes because we want to be sure people understand what we are saying. There are families that children don't speak the language and vice versa. So I am the bridge between them. That kind of challenge translate also into my two locations. There are challenges that require a lot of patience and a lot of tolerance for frustration. I just need to let it go sometimes. It's just, we do the best we can. This is, and I am very precise about my work and I want to do the best and I want, you know, to provide, but sometimes we just need to let it go. And that my Latino background helped me, because in Mexico, I grew up in a more relaxed way, in a more relaxed approach. So I am living in it. I don't see it as a problem or as a challenge. Yeah. But when I see other people, how relaxed they are, it's like, oh, I wish I could be that. I could be that. Yeah.
You bring up the translation aspect, and a little bit earlier, you were talking about the enchiladas as an example of this. And what it brought up for me is Freud talking about sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, but you're talking about sometimes an enchilada is not just an enchilada.
Yes, an enchilada is not just an enchilada, yeah.
I think it's interesting kind of talking about you as the bridge, because I think oftentimes, especially in relational therapy, most therapists can be a bridge in a certain way, but there's times when you truly are the conduit of information. How does that impact the clients that you work with?
I think it gives them hope that it can be many different ways to communicate. And it gives them validation that they are already communicating in ways that are nonverbal. Because sometimes they just assume, we don't talk. Yeah, I don't talk with my teenager. We don't talk. And then I help them to value other kinds of communication. And it happens that they actually understand more than they think. And I bring into therapy a lot of art, games, metaphors, and something that helps them storytelling, or something that helps them to ease the stress of two languages. And when they are young people, that I can pull and stress the importance of Spanish, for example, because their parents only speak Spanish, I go for that. I put a lot of stress in the children that out of the respect, they need to speak Spanish to their parents. And they do. Most of the time, they do. Most of the time, they actually know more than they think. So it has been very a unique part of my practice that I didn't have when I was in Mexico.
Of course.
When I was in Mexico, only giving therapy in Spanish, I will never consider being humble, or it's not out of willingness. It's out of ignorance that I didn't consider being humble for a person who was indigenous. And I never have an indigenous in my practice in Mexico, because their psychology was not as well received many years ago in Mexico. So when I come here and I have my indigenous client trying to communicate in Spanish and trying to say, even the way they behave with children, I feel a lot of respect, because it's like I am not only a bridge, I am just some kind of hope that they don't have otherwise sometimes. Sometimes it's getting into the line of case management. And I try to be very aware of that and very careful with that. But sometimes I need to pull a little bit. Or for example, one of my clients will say, I have a car appointment next week. So my mind is like, okay, we are going to work on how stressed she is about the court appointment, yeah? And the judge and the translators and everything. And then I stop and I ask, that time I ask her and I say, wow, okay, what do you need? And she give me her phone and she say, can you help me to use the map? Because I don't know how to get there. And like, okay. So we spend like 15 minutes me teaching her how to use the map. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Open the map and open the directions and blah, blah, blah. So that's one part. And then I have, let's put it that way, in the metaphor of the language in another situation. I have a client who has two PhDs in physics and mathematics, for example. When we talk about sadness, he is like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Yeah. So
there's no language around emotions there, huh?
No. And it's like when actually we're talking about his sadness and he's silent. I know he understood, yeah? And he's silent and I say, can you tell me what are you thinking? And he say, can you describe sadness for me?
Oh,
and
he
was totally in Spanish. We both were. It was very interesting.
Thrizer is a payment platform designed for out-of-network therapy. As a therapist, you would use Thrizer to charge clients for sessions and collect your full rate up front. From the client's perspective, Thrizer links to their health plan, so insurance claims are automatically submitted for them upon every charge. From there, Thrizer manages the claims end-to-end so that your clients don't have to worry about manually submitting super bills or getting on calls with insurance. The best part? Thrizer allows clients to only pay their co-insurance portion for sessions, while Thrizer covers the rest of your fee and waits for reimbursement on their behalf.
They also offer you an instant benefits calculator for free, allowing you to provide upfront transparency to prospective clients on their out-of-network coverage. Therapists only pay a standard 3% credit card processing fee per session with no additional fees. Visit join.thrizer.com/modern therapist to get started and use our promo code Modern Therapists to receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
A lot of people don't go into case management. They worry that that creates a dual relationship, but I actually think that oftentimes that can be extremely important. And if someone has a basic need that needs to be taken care of, you can't, you know, if we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you can't take care of enlightenment if somebody doesn't know how to get to the courthouse because they can't use their map. I think that's really critical that we do that. How do you make sure that you're feeling like that work sits well within the broader clinical work that you're doing?
I am more interested in my client having that feeling of succeed or empowerment.
Yeah.
And that empowerment comes from Paulo Freire from Brazil. I want to be very nice about the American psychologist. But we really lack in the American psychology. We lack a lot of training in social justice.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because for some reason in the American way, I already have a PhD there. I went through the entire process here. I don't want to criticize my own training. Yeah. But definitely we need to be able to rescue the dignity of the person. Mm-hmm. And for me, rescuing their dignity is to sit with them and we spend together time looking and picking at the map and opening the app and blah, 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 until she is happy that she's able to do it herself. Mm-hmm. And that for me is a session of empowerment. And that yes. for me is very clinical therapy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that for me is not case management because case management probably will be for me going with her to the court or something like that. So no, it's rescuing her sense of self-worth and self-efficacy when they actually come and say, I got there. Yeah. and it's like, and then I did a map and blah, blah, blah. So it's that kind of empowerment that I'm looking for.
That's beautiful. I love that.
You bring up some of the things that you notice about the American system of providing therapy. What are some of the other things from a little bit more of an outsider's view that you see we can do better?
I think, and I am going back to your episode on that you did on the modern life, the first episode probably. I am going to go back to that idea because I think we really can do better showing who we are. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the American therapies. I will not want to say American. Probably it's the psychology, the psychoanalytic aspect of our traditional psychology. I don't know, but that kind of sense of hiding who we are doesn't go with me, especially because when I was in Mexico, people know who you are because people talk.
Yeah.
And you find people in the supermarket and you say hello and you chit chat and kind of get to meet the family that way. Or that is what we make therapy. Yeah. And I was telling in another interview in the podcast for Laura Regan that my shamanic training help me to be humble and to be more connected and sometimes to be respectful of my profession, but not to be so blind about my profession. So if I have this relationship with my client, if my client is coming and telling me, so where are you going on vacation? And I say, you know, I'm going to Mexico for 2 weeks. And what you are going to do there? And I say, I am going to have a lot of fun and eat a lot of food. And they, that's it. They don't need anything else. But yeah. If I get all tied and say, oh, sorry, I cannot talk about my private life. Mm-hmm. You know what? I am shooting a door.
Yeah.
And they are not going to be with me anymore. Sometimes I really get a question like, what do you have for breakfast today, doctor? I say, oh, I have, you know, fried eggs or whatever. Oh, it's because I have that and that and that. And then they go on their life.
Yeah.
They really don't care about me that much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to be that kind of relationship.
You bring up a couple of very great things. Anytime that you can reference one of our previous podcasts in a great way, you're always going to earn brownie points with us. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Gold star for you.
Yes, you win. We're going to pull that out and we're just going to plaster that across all of our future advertisements.
It was fun. Actually, it was really fun, that episode.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you.
And you really did hit on really what our overarching theme is, which is really bring yourself out and to really embrace the personal aspects that each of us does bring to our practices. That you can do that not just in one country, but in two very different cultures. We really, really appreciate that you're staying strong with our message as well.
I have a little bit of story, probably 1 minute story for you. I was in a big store. I was going with my shopping cart around, and it was one guy and a two-year-old, and I don't know them. I never see them. And they were following me, and I was again and again, and I find them again and again. And the two-year-old was really happy, and the guy was really happy to see me. And I was like, okay. So finally they approached me, and the guy say, "Are you Dr. Carmen?" "Yes." "No, I really want to say thank you. Thank you, because you are my wife's therapist."
Oh, wow.
And it was like, it has been really great that you work with her and blah, 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 blah. And the two-year-old was like almost hugging me. And it was, I don't know him. Yeah. And it was so nice. I stay and chit-chat with them. And I actually hugged the two-year-old. And the mom was not there. The mom came later. The mom was somewhere in the market and then came later and say hello. And I stay and chit-chat. And for me, that's more valuable than not living in my community and not being a therapist or being a therapist who doesn't want to mingle with clients. I don't want to go and have fun with them. I don't want to be friends with them at all, but I don't want to also be so concerned about these little things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I love that. That's such a great story.
Well, thank you, Carmen. Carmen Roman is our guest today, and you can find her podcast, Emotions in Harmony. It's bilingual in both English and Spanish. Carmen, how else can people find you and your services?
I am in the harmoniaemocional.com. Harmonia Emocional is the website for my practice. And I am in Facebook Live. I have Facebook Live videos at DRA, like doctora, DRA Carmen Roman.
We'll have all of those links in our show notes so that you can find Carmen and her amazing bilingual services that she's providing to so many amazing people.
Thank you, Carmen. And please like our Facebook page, like us on our social media. And if you would do us the great favor of leaving us a review on iTunes, we would really appreciate that. Please subscribe, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. Learn more about who we are and what we do at mtsgpodcast.com. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes.
Don't forget, we have some special offers from our partner, Simplified SEO Consulting. Get 20% off a DIY SEO course with the code MODERNTHERAPIST, or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off of your onboarding to the Done For You SEO program. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist.
Remember to check out Thrizer. They are passionate about making out-of-network therapy work for everyone. Clients save upfront on therapy while therapists earn their full rate. Get started in minutes on join.thrizer.com/modern therapist and use the promo code Modern Therapists and receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.